Welcome to another message from all the parables in the Bible. We're in Matthew 24 now. Matthew 24 is quite a long reading, but we're going to read it. And then we're going to go back and we're going to study what we have read from the book, All the Parables in the Bible, by Herbert Lockyer. Matthew 24 and verse 1. And Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to a point out of the temple buildings to him. They come up to point out the temple buildings to him. And he answered and said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another, which will not be torn down." And as he was sitting upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no man lead you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. From this point of time on, A.D. 33 or so, there would be a lot of false religions begin to come into the world. Here we have Jesus organizing a church in Matthew, the third chapter, when he called them out of the Sea of Galilee. We have, by the 200 A.D., 251 A.D., we have a real problem in the church at Rome with Novatian and Cornelius. And the Church of Rome called Cornelius as their pastor instead of Novatian. Now, the Novatians were a type of Baptist that would come and be known at that time because they would not accept the other people's baptism. The whole thing in the beginning of this was over church discipline. Now, we have the church and the state united in 325 A.D., we have infant baptism sought because now if the church and the state are united, then baptism is what is the door to the church, basically. I'm not talking about the saved. That's not what saves you. The door to church membership is baptism. You can't be a member of the church. You're saved before. You should be saved before. And then you come before the church and ask to become a member, and then you're baptized, and then you're fellowshipped into that church in that order. But since babies and everybody is going to be a member of the church and state, they said, "Well, let's baptize in babies." And then we have godmothers and godfathers because babies can't believe. They can't say anything. "I believe in Jesus Christ and that he died on the cross of Calvary, that he buried and that he rose for me." So they have a godfather saying that. They believe in that. And the Holy Catholic Church also. This is when the Holy Catholic Church began. And we have the Holy Roman Empire beginning. We have infant baptism. We have indulgences. We have Mariolatry. We have popery. Leo II officially established. And then we have the church and the state began to persecute others. We have purgatory invented in the 700s. And by the way, back here in 570 A.D., we have Muhammad born. Muhammad is born into the world of a church state of the Catholic Church. Now, he didn't pay any attention to those Baptists out there, those Paterines, those Novatians, or Puritans, or whatever you want to call them, the Montanists. He was watching Catholicism because that's the power. Catholicism going out by the sword and conquering and conquering and conquering. Now, all of these, we would have false religions. We would have agnostics, which John denounced and Peter denounced. We would have Arius of Alexandria come forth in the 300s and start preaching that Jesus was an angel and not a real person. And we have the descendants of them, which is the Jehovah's Witnesses today, Herbert Armstrong and all of that. And we have all of these things happening here. Saint Nimrod's worship in 777 A.D. And then we have the division of the Greek Orthodox and the Roman Church in 869 A.D. We have infant communion. We have the order of transubstantiation invented in 1100. We have celibacy invented in 1123. We have confession, auricular confession in 1215. We have the Inquisition in 1231. Now we have, across the Mediterranean, we have the Muslims and we have the Catholics killing each other. And Baptists running for the lives wherever they are. We have, about this time, we have the Bible forbidden in 1229 A.D. The Bible, can you imagine a church that forbids the use of the Bible? And then here we have, now, Muhammad's born 570. By 623 A.D., the old boy had died. But he had set in force what would become the Ottoman Empire, Islam. That, and before Muhammad died, he declared war on the world. Don't go out there and conquer and conquer and conquer and give your lives and keep on forcing conversion until the whole world is subjugated to Islam. Islam means to surrender. It doesn't mean peace. So there we have all of this between the lines. Let's go on. And many will come in my name saying that I am the Christ and will mislead many. And you will be hearing wars and rumors of wars and that you are frightened and those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. Herbert Armstrong said that the gospel hadn't been preached for 1,800 years until he began to preach it. Joseph Smith said that God was dissatisfied with all religions and wanted him to reorganize the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We see all of these things. Mary Baker Eddy, Christian Science. We see modern-day Judaism in the Seventh-day Adventist and the Seventh-day Adventist cults. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom in the various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things merely are the beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you and you will be hated by all nations on account of my name. Catholicism killed between 50 and 100 million Christians. Islam has killed 170 million plus Christians. Millions have died. Millions, millions, millions. That's like 200 and 300 million people died for the profession of Christ and are still dying someplace in the world every day because of Islam. And if Catholicism had the power, they would be still killing people in the name of the Pope. And the Inquisitions and the wars. I might tell you the Inquisition was wrong, Islam is wrong, all of this is wrong. No way should a man ever be forced to believe anything. God doesn't do that. God doesn't force you to believe. Jesus Christ died for all men that they might believe. That they might believe. That they might have forgiveness of sins. And at the time that you will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. They won't have natural love. Fathers won't love their children. Children won't love their fathers and mothers. We see that today, don't we? Mothers that don't love their children? Mothers that don't love their children? Fathers that don't love their children? Children that don't love their parents? But one who endures to the end, it is he who shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world for a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. And it has been, by the way. The gospel has been preached to the whole world, and half the world has rejected it. The Ottoman Empire was built upon the seven churches of Asia by the destruction of them. Those Paulicians had to run to the valleys of the Piedmont. And then the Catholic Church came in 1500 and killed them and spread them all over. They had gone down into France. They had gone into all Bulgaria. They had gone into Germany, Russia, China. Some of these people would become known as the Waldenses, the Mennonites, the Amish. They never killed people. They didn't kill people. They were killed. Therefore, when you see the abomination of death taking place through Daniel, the prophet standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Now, we run here all the way from the end of the church age over into the tribulation period. And abomination of desolation is going to stand in the temple in Jerusalem. The temple will be built in Jerusalem. Let me give you a little foresee of the taste of coming events there, I believe. There were six great empires that ruled the Middle East. The fifth was the Roman Empire. The sixth was the Ottoman Empire. And the seventh will be a revision of that dead Ottoman Empire, which dissolved in 1920-something. Be raised again. In the Bible, it talks about the beast, the false prophet, and the Antichrist. In Islamic literature, it talks about the Mahdi, the beast, and Isa, the Jesus, the false Jesus. Not the same Jesus as the Bible. The Mahdi will come out of Syria. The beast and Isa, or Jesus, their Jesus, will come out of Arabia. When the Mahdi comes, he'll be 40 years old. He'll be a direct descendant of Muhammad through his daughter, Fatima. And he will be a reluctant prophet, but they will swear allegiance to him. And then the beast will come. And the beast will mark the true believers of Islam. The Bible talks about the false prophet and the Antichrist. The Antichrist comes, and the beast causes the people to worship the Antichrist. In Islamic literature, the beast is good, the Mahdi is good, and the false Messiah is good. In the Bible, the Antichrist is bad, the beast is bad, and the false prophet is bad. Mm-hmm. What is good in one is evil in the other. This is what's going to happen during this period of time. And also, the Bible says that the Antichrist will rule for 7 years. In the Islamic literature, it says the Mahdi will rule for 7 years. Beware! Listen! Open your eyes, people. We're moving toward that right now. The end times are coming upon us. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. And this is after the rapture, by the way. This happened right in the middle of the tribulation period. Now, God is going to use Israel one more time in the millennial reign, but he's got to put them through the washing machine before he can do anything with them. And that tribulation period is the washing machine. Going to have to clean them up. Two-thirds of them are going to die. Five out of every six Gentiles in the world is going to die. And Islam is going to be, I believe, the instrument of God that God uses at this period of time to bring Israel back to God. Let him who is in the housetop not go down to get things out of his house. Let him who is in the field not turn back to get his coat. But woe to those who are with a child, to those who are nursed babies in those days. But pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been occurred since the beginning of the world until now, not ever shall be. Unless those days shall be cut short, no life will have been saved upon the earth. For the sake of the elect, those days shall be cut short. God is going to turn Islam against Islam, I believe, at the end of this tribulation period. Islam will go after the Jews when they flee to Petra or wherever it is, that place, hiding place. And he will swallow them up by natural forces. And then they'll begin to fight among themselves as they do all over the world anyway. Wherever Islam has gone in any nation, it's caused nothing but trouble and murder. Yet it's a religion of peace, you remember. That's what George Bush said. And Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. And all of these people say, oh, religion, Islam is a religion of peace. I remember one time when Zola Levitt came to the church where I was one of the volunteer pastors. And they kept pushing him to talk about George Bush. George Bush, you might say, was in bed with the Arabs. Zola Levitt didn't want to say anything. They got up and kept pushing him about Bush. And he said, I'll tell you what, I could live 1,000 years before I'd have a Saudi prince on my ranch, feeding and taking care of him, people that were going to try to turn their back on you and cut your throat. 9/11 was Saudi Arabia people. I said, don't go any further than that. That's just what I want to say about that. All of the leaders, especially Obama, Islam is a religion. America will never be at war with Islam. Oh, yes, it will. If they want to survive, America is already Sharia compliant. That is the law of Islam. We won't stand against them. They're so ferocious and terrorist that people, nations are afraid to say anything. How many people have you ever seen burn Bibles? Bibles have been burned all the time. You publicly burn a Quran and you're going to die. There will be a death threat on you from now on. Lest those days be cut short, not one bit of flesh shall be saved. Then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, and there he is, do not believe him. Remember, the Mahdi is going to come in Islamic end times. The beast is going to go out, and he's going to force people, and he's going to write on their foreheads, on their arms, there is no God but Allah, and he has no companion, and Muhammad is his prophet. That's the mark. That's the name. That's the confession of faith of Islam. And then Esau will arrive. Jesus, the false Jesus, will arrive. What is the Mahdi and what is the beast and what is Esau going to do? First of all, they're going to go out and kill all the Jews. Number one. Number two, they're going to go out and kill all the Christians. No, I made one mistake there. The first thing they're going to do is go out and kill all the pigs, the swine. Now, you may not know this, but according to Islamic tradition, swine are reincarnated Jews. That's why they won't eat pigs, because that's a reincarnated Jew. They're going to kill all the swine, they're going to kill all the Jews, and then they're going to kill all the Christians and bring in Islam into the whole world. That's the absolute purpose of Islam. Muhammad said before he died, there will not be any peace on the world until you bring the whole world into the rejection to Islam. That's what ISIS is doing. ISIS is true Islam. But they come in cloaks of righteousness also. Oh, we're peaceful. They go into nations. And then they demand to live under Sharia law, not any constitution of any nation. The end times. That's what this message is about, is the end times. The end times. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. And they will at this time. There will be miracles. The Satan is capable of doing miracles. Look at what happened in Egypt. Look what happened in Egypt. Don't cut them short of what they did in Egypt, Jannes and Jambres. Behold, I have told you in advance. If therefore they say to you, behold, he is in the wilderness, do not go for it. Issa is coming out of Arabia, out there in the desert. He is in the wilderness. Do not go forth. Behold, he is in the inner rooms. Do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. He's going to come first of all for his people, and he's going to rapture them up, and there will be a 7-year wedding feast in heaven, while hell is breaking loose on earth. And he's going to bring those Jews to a washing machine that will be of conversion. That nation will be born in a day, and they will reign for 1,000 years upon this earth, probably with the resurrected David on the throne on the earth. And Jesus will be in heaven in New Jerusalem with his bride and all the guests of the bride and all the others that are there. The bride is very special. For wherever the corpse is, there shall be vultures gather. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the sky with power and glory. And here we see at the end of the tribulation period, we see Jesus coming in all his power. We see his coming for his people, and we see him coming in power. And by the way, the bride is accompanying him on their horses, not as participants in the war, but in the cheering section of Jesus Christ. They're wonderful husbands. And he will send forth his angels a great trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from all the four winds. The elect what there is Israel, and the rest of the saved. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Even so, you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door. In Sharia law, it says a Muslim man can have four legal Islamic wives. They are, in other words, they are believers. But they can own and possess all the concubines they can afford. If you go in certain cities in the Islamic areas, you will see several wives, sister wives, following each other as their daily walks with their children tagging along. If you go to the stores, you will see them with their wick stickers and their food stamps, buying grocery loads, bags, carts full of bread, full of milk, and full of orange juice for a tribe. Islam is going in the countries and they're having 20 children sometimes per family, because a man has got four wives. And how many concubines, we will never know. They will list one. Understand, people. The cards are on the table. The dominoes are all out there, standing up on end. Even so, you too, when you see all these things, recognize he is right at the door. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth shall pass away. What generation? The generation that lives here. Yeah. During that tribulation period. How close we are to it, I do not know. I just know one thing. I see the players in place. But of that day and that hour, no one knows, not even the angel of heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. And by the way, now the Son knows. Mm-hmm. Nothing's hid from him. For the coming of the Son of Man would be just like in the days of Noah. For in those days, before the flood, there was eating and drinking, and they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. They went on about things just like everybody else. And they did not understand that the flood came and took them all away, and so shall be the coming of the Son of Man be. And then there shall be two men in the field, and one will be taken and one will be left behind. Going back to the rapture again. Two women will be grinding in the mill, and one will be taken and one will be left. Therefore be on alert, for you not know which day the Lord is coming. Be prepared. Be prepared. How do you get prepared for the rapture? Get saved. That's number one. Get saved. And try to join one of God's New Testament churches. Support them with your life and your funds. But be sure of this, that the head of the house had known at one time the night that the thief was coming, he would have been on alert and would not have been allowed his house to be taken and broken into. Are your children saved? Are your children saved? Is your house in order? Are your children saved? By the way, it's volition. You can't make them be saved, but sure do everything you can do as their little children growing up, showing them the right way. Try to do the best. For this reason, you be ready too, for the Son of Man is coming at what hour? When you think not, he will be. Who then is the faithful and the sensible slave whom his master shall put in charge of his household and give them their food at proper time? Blessed is the slave whom his master finds doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, then he will put him in charge of all his possession. That bride is going to be special forever. She's going to rule and reign with Christ. Forever. Not for a while, not 1,000, not 1,000,000 years. Eon, Tony, Eon, Tony, Eon. Olam in the Hebrew. Eon, Tony, Eon, Tony, Eon in Greek. But if the evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, he shall begin to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink and with drunkards. The master of the slave will come in that day when he does not expect him, and that hour when he does not know, and shall cut him in pieces and assign him place with the hypocrites. That's the one we just talked about, wasn't it? The attributes of the hypocrites. Yeah. Weeping shall be there and the gnashing of teeth. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out. Father, I send with a prayer that people that will hear this, that will learn, that will understand the gravity of what we are doing in this world today. What we do here means something forever. We have a place of we have a vine to tend, each and every one of us. And if you're out there and you're lost, that those are lost out there, Father, that you'll convict them with your spirit of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, that they will be added to your family, and that some will be even called in your churches. Forgive me, Father, where I fail you. Please. Please forgive me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.